his fruit in his season, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Here we are confronted, we are reminded, it is illustrated that there are two paths. The way of the blessed and the way of the unrighteous. The way of the godly and the way of the ungodly or the wicked. And in the scripture, in six short verses, it gives us a very distinct picture in our mind that these two ways, these two paths, do not run parallel. They run in opposite directions. The way of righteousness is very far from the way of wickedness. The way of God is very far from the way of the devil. And as we read in Psalm 1, there are two different ways. And those ways say, well, how do I get, I feel like I'm on the wrong path. Well, then it's for you to move. Blessed is the man that walketh. That's your responsibility. Nor standeth, nor sitteth. But there's a direct blessing in being on the right path. There's a direct blessing in being in the right spot, in the right place. The Bible tells us, blessed is the man. Understand that this isn't just talking about men. This is mankind. The scripture does this regularly. Blessed is that person who does what? Well, number one, look at verse 3. He shall be like a tree planted. Telling the dear sweet people at Hilton East this past week about this passage. And behind my house, when we first moved in, the neighbor behind our house, it's not very far from our deck. It's maybe to the wall there, maybe a little bit further. But behind that, there was 13 acres of land. And when we first moved in, our neighbor, he was faithful in mowing that and kept it all kept. It looked really nice. When people would come over, and they would always look out our back windows, and they're like, is that all your land? That's so nice. No, ours stops right at that little, like right there, you know, and that's all his. Well, I don't know if gas prices went up or what happened, but after a while, he stopped mowing. And now the new neighbor, he's got stuff out there, you can't even see it because all of the stuff that has grown up wild. We have giant maple trees at our house, big, very large maple trees. And every year they send their little helicopters out and they land, and there's saplings and things, and the trees are tall now. But it was wild. God tells us in verse 3, hey, I got a path for you, and I'm going to plant you. This isn't just by accident. This isn't just by, hey, just let caution and go away. God says, I have a blessed life for you. Number one, I'm going to plant you somewhere by the rivers of water. I'm going to place you, that your life isn't to be crazy. It's not to be out of order. Your life is purposeful, God says. And I'm going to plant you. I've told you about Hudson. Hudson likes growing stuff. And he picks out a plot of land and he puts his little seeds in and he puts those things in. And you know what? They grow where they're planted. Sometimes in our life, we look at this and go, well, I'm following the Lord. I'm trying to live right. I'm meditating in the things of God every day. And I find myself in a place that I never would have put myself. Please understand that you were placed there by God. Hey, isn't that something to think about? You're a tree planted by the rivers of water. It's not an accident. It's no coincidence. You are where you are because God put you there. And as you walk with the Lord, you think, well, this can't be right. Oh, maybe it is right. Because there are things well beyond our control. You didn't get a choice of where you were going to be born. There was no a lottery. There was no you got to be born here. Well, most of you, I think. Planted. You didn't get to pick your family. No, there are circumstances that the Lord has allowed around you to mold you into who you are today. Some of which is your culture. Some of which is your family. And please understand this. Remember this thought. God makes no mistakes. Hey, if you're following the Lord and you're walking with God and you've said no to sin and you try and stay far away from righteousness and you're on that right path and you find yourself in a place, hey, I never would have picked this for myself, but I bet there's a reason why I'm here. Wouldn't it be a shame to be in the right place at the right time, not doing what you should be doing? Say, well, I would have picked... Talking with one of the kids this past week in Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. God's thoughts and our thoughts. Well, God, you've made... No, remember, God makes no mistakes. And as a blessed person walking with the Lord here, understand this, you've been planted in a place. Say, well, I wouldn't have picked that. I don't see all the logic in that. Don't you think it would have been better? No, God knows exactly what he's doing, and he puts you where you are. Planted by the rivers of water. Say, yeah, but yeah, I was thinking, stop thinking. Let the Lord do that. Because his ways are higher than our ways. And his thoughts... than our thoughts. Today, Hudson and I were doing some wood, and Hudson had a new job today. Normally, Joe does what Hudson was doing today, right? Joe is usually moving the pieces while I'm cutting. So Joe, or Hudson, as he's watching this, says, Dad, don't you think it would be better to do it like this? Now, we've cut up a lot of wood over the years. And you know what? I looked at that, and I thought, hey, let's consider that. But what he wanted to do was, there were two spots of, like two sawhorses. We had a far sawhorse away, and he suggested, no, just cut right in between the two sawhorses. I said, no, son, I can't do that. I have to cut the wood off the end, so when I cut it, it drops. Otherwise, it'll pinch on the saw, and that's no good. Good idea, just a little off. I love that he was thinking. Hey, Dad, what about this? And it wasn't like that. We have saws, and we both have earplugs in. So it was him screaming at me this far away, and me responding, "No, we're not doing. You can't do it like that. It's gonna pinch." You know. Good thought, just a little off mark. So yeah, that's how it is with me and the Lord. No. Let me explain. Our thoughts and God's thoughts are measured in distances beyond number. Say, how big is that? As high as the heaven is from the earth, so are the differences between how God thinks and how I think, and how he works and how I work. So when he says, I want you right here, and I say, yeah, but I think, stop. You've been planted. And if you want to be blessed, you realize I'm where God wants me to be. Which brings us to our next point. He didn't plant me here for just no reason. He planted us here to produce something. He wants us to be productive. When you plant today, we have at our house, we have a little, we have a very small, actually, little vegetable garden. Nothing, I don't know. You have acres over at your place. We have literally this big. Like, that's how big it is. And we have our cucumbers growing up. And I planted cucumbers back around Memorial Day, I think it was. Maybe a little bit earlier. Not because I think cucumber plants are pretty. Not because it brings little hummingbirds or anything like that. I planted cucumber plants because I want cucumbers. I planted poblanos. Oh, we're very close to the poblano harvest. You know what poblanos are? They're like a cross between a jalapeno and a bell pepper. It's like a little spice, but not too much. And they're big. And you take them and you cut out the seeds and you fill them with meat and cheese and then you grill them. Oh, my soul. That's why I planted it. Because I want fruit. Why did God plant you where you are? Well, Galatians chapter 5. He's expecting fruit. He wants you to be productive. He puts you where you're at. Brother Rice, maybe tomorrow morning you're at work and you're thinking, why am I here? Because he wants fruit where he planted the tree. He wants a beacon of love and joy and peace, Galatians 5:22. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. He doesn't want money. He doesn't want accolades. He doesn't want a name on the big screen. He doesn't care about that. He wants a demonstration of his love. He wants a demonstration of his joy. He wants his peace seen visually. That's the fruit. That's why he planted you where you're at. Regardless of your age, regardless of your circumstance, he's looking for the fruit. He wants you productive. He wants you producing fruit. He wants meekness. He wants temperance. That's why we plant these things. That's why we have apple trees, and that's why we have fruit and vegetable gardens, because it produces something. You and I are no different. You've been planted with a purpose, in a place to produce. He wants you productive. Say, well, it's tough where I'm at. It doesn't matter. That's why you're there. Well, if I was in a different place, you'd be required to do the same thing. Are you demonstrating the love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, where you've been planted? He would like us not just to produce fruit. He would like us to produce much fruit. I didn't plant a whole cucumber plant to get one cucumber. He says, do you have any tomatoes? Like, right? You got tomatoes coming out of your ears. But that's why you planted them. We plant to get fruit. Not just, I didn't plant a tomato plant to get one tomato. God didn't plant you there. Well, I'll just take a little joy here. No, that's enough. You're fine. No, he's expecting much fruit. In Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse 26, it is the word of God which helps bring these things out, that he might sanctify and cleanse it. He's talking about you and I with the washing of the water by the word. Regularly, I can't tell you how many times throughout this summer I've heard Sarah tell Hudson, hey, go water the garden. Why is that? Because we want fruit. Hey, I'm struggling. I'm having a hard time producing love and joy, and I don't feel like the Holy Spirit. Well, let's see. Have you been watered? How can you expect fruit in your life if the Word of God has not gotten in? There's two paths. There's a path of blessing. God says, I've planted you in a place. Number two, He wants us productive. Number three, he wants us profitable. He doesn't just want us producing fruit. He wants us to reproduce. Psalm 126. Psalm 126 and verse 5. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth weeping and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, what? With rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Have you reproduced yourself in somebody else? Have you taken the truths? Have you taken the scriptures and poured it into another life? That's what he does. Say, that sounds difficult. I'm reading here. The word sow in tears. That means there must be some agony, maybe some heartache, maybe some great effort. But do you see what the fruit is, though? Shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. You'll come back with more than you start. I don't know what heaven's going to be like, but I do want to ask you the question, who's going to be there because of you? Say, no one, it's all the blood. I understand what you can't save anybody. But who did you reach? Who's the sheaves that you're bringing with you? The goal isn't just to get there. The goal is to bring as many with us as possible. Yes, productive in your own life. But are you profitable in that you're reproducing? We can look at the scriptures and see people that have had great influence, and yes, I understand we just need to be faithful with what we're doing. But I can't help but think there's a community, a world all around us that God has us at this place. Why are we right here? Because God wants us to impact right here with what he told us. And if he picks us up and moves us, then I'm going to do that there. But the goal is still the same. It's to be productive. It's to be profitable. That at the end, we gave our life for the Lord to reach others. So tonight, acknowledge where you've been planted and serve him to the fullest wherever it is that you are. Be productive. That's why you're there. Be profitable. Are you reaching somebody? Hey, I've had the opportunity to visit some of our men at their workplace. You got a tough mission field, some of you. You got a tough place where you go every day and the people that you're surrounded with, and it's not a happy work environment for everybody. But you're still to be productive. You're still to be profitable because that's where you've been planted. Ladies, who are you reaching? Gentlemen, who are you reaching? Let's all stand. I don't know if the food truck's there still. HUD's going to beeline it, I know. You got no money. Yeah, I know. There you go. Very good. Eli, you got money? You had money. Savannah Ray's got 5 cents. I saw it. She showed me in her new purse. So cute. And I'm glad you're here tonight. There's a lot of things But seriously, you know, get away from the world a little bit and open up the scriptures and hopefully be encouraged and strengthened. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for putting us where you did. Lord, forgive us for ever thinking that we know better than you. God, help us to be productive. Help us to be profitable. God, that we could serve you to the fullest, that you'd be pleased. That you'd be pleased with our lives. Lord, I ask you to watch over us now, protect us as we travel home. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a good night.